Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. Why would a God of love send the flood? Why would God wipe out millions of people in a flood? Notice here, Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, and it repented the Eternal that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Do we ever think about the fact that God is very upset by human sin? God hates when we sin, and it makes him very sad. Verse 7, and the Eternal said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. God basically thought, maybe this whole human experiment was a mistake. And yet, one man on earth stood out in the midst of all that rebellion and vile sin on earth. Notice verse 8, Genesis 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal. Noah built an ark as God told him to prepare for the flood. Noah was able to preserve his family plus a selection of the animals on this ark as the flood drenched the earth and covered the earth for 40 days. Noah built this ark on dry ground for a century, maybe more, while everyone around him ridiculed and scoffed at his warning. Noah told people that a flood was coming, but no one took it seriously. No one considered their ways. Not one person outside Noah's family ever repented of their sins, so that they could be on the ark with Noah and his family and be preserved as the flood wiped out all life on earth. Do we see why God was grieved? Here, God was sending a warning message through his servant Noah, and every single person on earth ignored God. Ignored God's warning. So why would God send a flood? What was the point of that? Where was the love in the flood? Well, we have to understand God's plan. We have to realize that there is a big picture behind the flood. God wasn't just permanently wiping these people out, extinguishing their lives, never to have another chance. These people were lost in rebellion, misery, and darkness. They had every opportunity to change. And only when the rains came, only when water started bursting out of the ground and the flood began, did any of these people ever consider Noah's warning and take it seriously. By then it was too late. By then the ark was closed and it was time for those floodwaters to rush in. This really does show us a lot about God's attitude towards sin, but also doesn't it show us a lot about the extreme lengths God must go to so human beings will wake up? Do we really think God would react with a flood if it wasn't absolutely necessary? God is our creator. He is our father. He loves and cares deeply for each one of us. So why would he kill us? Why would he kill humans in a flood? Unless there was really no other option. The late Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong asked this question in a sermon on October 16th, 1982. And the title of that sermon was Aversion Therapy. Aversion Therapy. Think about how far mankind has descended into sin. Christ foretold that this modern age would be the same as the times of Noah, where mankind is just partying and living lawlessly with no care for what God says. In fact, the wickedness on earth today far exceeds the time of Noah. We need to learn the lesson from the flood. We need to understand why God would send such severe punishment. We are going to see another worldwide punishment happen again very soon. Your Bible foretells a great tribulation for 2.5 years. And then a day of God's wrath for another year, a 3.5 year combined total, where first Satan ravages mankind, and then God punishes mankind. But again, would God really make all that happen if it wasn't absolutely necessary? Does God just yearn for opportunities to correct, to hurt? Is God gleeful about the opportunity to hurt human beings? Of course not. So we do need to know why. We do need to know why God allows such appalling suffering on earth today. And why it's going to get so much worse in the near future. At least in the flood, people quickly drowned. It's going to be a prolonged, torturous suffering inflicted upon mankind very soon. But again, there is a purpose behind it all. We have to remember there is a reason for everything God does. Mr. Armstrong said in this sermon back in 1982, we need to know God's purpose. Now, you might expect that Mr. Armstrong did in fact go back to the two trees in this sermon. Mr. Armstrong rewound from the flood back to the two trees, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they had a chance to choose between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As Mr. Armstrong explains in this sermon, both of these trees gave Adam and Eve spiritual knowledge. But the difference was they could either receive their spiritual knowledge from God or from Satan. As Mr. Armstrong said, it could be revealed spiritual knowledge straight from God, or it could be self-acquired spiritual knowledge, really coming from the devil. This was the difference between an immediate reward provided by Satan or a future reward that is much greater provided by God. Mr. Armstrong said it's like God had said to Adam, "Do you want to produce a whole world that will be your own children and then rule over them? Or would you rather go along with Satan, who is now ruling, sitting on the throne?" You see, a future reward offered by God or an immediate reward offered by Satan. As we know, the immediate reward that Adam chose wasn't so great. He didn't really get to rule with Satan. He became a slave to Satan. Adam and Eve's first son, Cain, killed his brother Abel. He was the very first human murderer. What a miserable life Adam and Eve chose. They wanted to go their own way. They wanted to choose for themselves what spiritual knowledge is true. And that is the very reason why we see all mankind blinded today when it comes to religion. They're picking and choosing what they want to believe in the Bible. They refuse to believe every word of the Bible. They refuse to admit they're wrong, as Mr. Armstrong talked about here. They don't want to admit they're wrong. Notice this point from Mr. Armstrong. Again, October 16th, 1982, in a sermon, Mr. Armstrong said, "It's a most difficult thing for anyone to do, to accept some new knowledge you never had before, especially if it's spiritual knowledge out of the Bible. People just don't want any more knowledge out of the Bible than they already have. And most people haven't got any, and that's where they want to stop, right there. They don't want to hear any." That's an interesting way of looking at it by Mr. Armstrong. Humans really don't want to know what the Bible says. They don't really want to discover the truth of the Bible on their own, apart from God. Because deep down we know that the Bible is the one authoritative book that tells all mankind the right way to live. The Bible is the instruction manual that tells mankind how we should live, how we will operate properly. But we just don't want to listen, do we? We just don't want to admit that we are wrong and God is right. And no matter how bad the suffering gets, God has to keep on ramping it up more and more, showing us more and more the failed fruits, the rotten fruits of our own way of doing things. And that's why Mr. Armstrong went back to the two trees. Yes, he was talking about Noah and the flood, but then he went back to the two trees. And he said, look, Adam and Eve chose Satan instead of God. Then in Genesis chapter 3, God had to cut Adam and Eve off from the tree of life. They had made a decision that all mankind would suffer from for the next 6,000 years. Adam and Eve couldn't simply go back to the tree of life after rejecting that tree and take from it as well. Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24 show that the vast majority of mankind today does not have access to God's Holy Spirit, to revealed spiritual knowledge from God. Humans have been left to our own devices, ultimately just following the devil wherever he leads, trying things our own way, trying to build society our own way, deciding for ourselves what is right and what is wrong, what laws we need, what laws we don't need, trying to decide how to properly educate the next generation, or how to raise crops, or how to take care of livestock, or how to invent things. We have produced some pretty awe-inspiring innovations as human beings, but also we've produced the means to wipe out our own human population from the earth with nuclear weapons. We have the highest of highs, the lowest of lows in our human experiment of self-governance, rejecting God as our leader and going our own way. And as time goes on, as these 6,000 years of man escalate to the point of nuclear annihilation, God is showing us over and over and over again that our way does not work. When the people of Noah's day rejected the warning from God over and over and over again, finally God sent punishment. Nothing God could say to those people would change their mind. They were determined to wallow in their misery and go their own way apart from God, no matter what. And so God was left with no choice but to send the flood. And we see throughout human history the results of humans failing to govern ourselves. All kinds of tyranny and abuse have taken place on this earth. We have failed over and over and over again. And that's exactly what aversion therapy is. Mr. Armstrong talks about that in this 1982 sermon. Aversion therapy is a way to help an alcoholic or a drug addict decisively break that addiction. It's basically a way of saturating someone with that vice to the point where they get completely sick of it. Where even a drop of alcohol would make that former alcoholic sick. It's basically rewiring the brain to get people to hate their former addiction. They can't stomach it anymore. It literally makes them vomit. That is exactly what God is doing to humanity. As we look back on our history and we see that millions of people died in a flood, as we see that our greatest attempts at empire and civilization have all eventually crumbled and been conquered, as we see the increasing violence and insanity of the world today, God is showing us you ought to hate that way. That way that has caused every bit of human suffering and mass death throughout history. It's all from Satan's way. It's all from self-discovered, self-determined spiritual knowledge. Satan telling us what is right. And for some reason, believing him instead of God. Satan is a rebel. He's convinced mankind to rebel as well, starting with Adam and Eve, to the point where God regretted creating mankind and wiped out humanity in a flood. That is aversion therapy. And at some point, every person ever will experience aversion therapy. There are examples in your Bible, like Romans 7 with the Apostle Paul. He hated sin. He learned to hate sin because he repeatedly failed. And he was sick of sin. Now, that does not mean we should saturate ourselves in sin to become sick of it, but we should step back, look at the horrible results of our own way of doing things and the suffering we have inflicted upon ourselves and say, you know what? I don't want that anymore. Aversion therapy. Paul experienced aversion therapy. Every one of us must experience aversion therapy so that we will reliably follow and obey God. All mankind must go through aversion therapy at some point to hate sin and never return to it again. Notice one last passage here in 2 Peter chapter 2. Just another example of aversion therapy where we never want to return to that former evil way of life. The way of life apart from God. 2 Peter 2, starting in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. God has shown us the way. God has given us his law, the right way of life, and we ought to hate that former way that made us so unhappy. We don't want to be a dog going back and licking up his own vomit, or a pig wallowing in the mud again after being washed. So don't be a dog. Don't be a pig. Learn the lesson of aversion therapy and decide never to go the wrong way again. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.